Hi, welcome to the Integrative Health Podcast with Dr. Jen Plegar. This podcast is meant to educate and empower about important health topics. Dr. Jen's passion is to get to the root cause of disease and prevent illness. She will also feature guests who are experts in their fields and experiences in all things related to integrative medicine.
Hello, this is Dr. Jen. Welcome back to the Integrative Health Podcast. If you enjoy this episode, please subscribe and give a five-star review and share with your friends. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Integrative Health Podcast with Dr. Jen. Today, I have Dr. Michael Wong, MD, here on the podcast. I'm really excited. So a little bit about Michael. He grew up in Taiwan and immigrated to the United States in his teens. He worked his way through school to support his family and pay for his education. After completing a mission for his church, he attended UCLA, majoring in biochemistry, then St. George School of Medicine. Michael conducted cardiovascular research at Stanford University with various clinical rotations throughout the U.S. and England. Dr. Wong obtained his medical degree in 2001 and completed his internship at Indiana University and residency at UC Davis in family practice, and was selected as House Staff President to help lead teams of physicians throughout their medical training. Dr. Wong's practice philosophy focused on solving the root cause of disease by constant learning and mastering a wide range of diagnostic and surgical skills. This enables Dr. Wong to act as his patient's race engineer to better health and happiness. In 2020, Dr. Wong became alarmed by the rapid spread of COVID-19 misinformation and dismissal of evidence-based medicine practice with rapid adoption of baseline mandates rooted by fear and ignorance. Dr. Wong kept his clinic open and treated numerous patients that were given up by their physicians and denied basic medical care, resulting in successful treatments of thousands of COVID-19 patients. Dr. Wong has filled the vacant role of a health advocate for thousands of people in California and across the state line as they seek refuge from the harms and collateral damages of ill-advised COVID-19 measures. Wow. I mean, that is amazing. And this is why I feel like you're my people and I wanted to talk to you. So welcome, Michael, to the podcast.
Thank you. Appreciate that introduction.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, I feel you. COVID-19 for the doctors that were actually treating patients correctly, was it not exhausting?
If there were not so much draconian measures and restrictions, tying our hands behind our back, treating COVID is actually really straightforward. Not too sure about your personal experience in what you do in integrative medicine, but this is just a very, very bad cold. I already saw COVID-like illness in the fall of 2019. And that's how I got my natural immunity very early, is treating these people. And, I never had to wear a mask. I never got sick from the original strain SARS-CoV-2 and from the Delta strain, not until we treated a fully vaccinated ICU nurse last November, who actually is one of the first cases of Omicron that we identified in California. And that's when I got sick from her for a couple of days. Then again, natural immunity, then we're again good to go. So it's super straightforward, and just the mess that we are experiencing all across the country. I'm not sure about your area, but California, it's just a giant, I don't want to say the word, but
it's a dumpster fire.
Yeah, there you go. Dumpster fire.
That's a nice way to put it. And yeah, you know, Ohio, it's kind of in the middle ground, not very bad. You know, there were pharmacies that would refuse prescriptions. The compounding pharmacies would, you know, rally behind doctors that were actually treating COVID and were doing the right thing and keeping patients out of hospitals. So it was nice because I really got a lot of respect for different people in the area. And I lost a lot of respect for a lot of physicians, unfortunately. But California has been very strict when it comes to medical freedom in general.
I think it's not just medical freedom, it's everything. Recently, we have 10 just absolute, unbelievably horrible bills trying to get passed through the California legislature. Basically, any way they can think of to restrict your ability to make medical decision for yourself and your family, and the ability to speak freely, they're trying to take that away. If we were to transplant these politicians, let's say, to your area, or let's say to South Dakota, Idaho, and Texas, they would literally be chased out of town with a pitchfork. But right. yet, in California, they let these type of insanity go on. And in some way, I feel bad for what California are going through. In another way, we really ask for it, right? That people don't speak up. They let the politician trample over our rights. And basically, we're basically acting like our state has been occupied and it's been conquered by another nation. And they can torture us however they want. They can humiliate us however they wish. I see nowadays vaccine injured people in my office. Sometimes I see 15 a day, and just absolutely horrible.
Yes. And I don't know what it is about conventional medicine, but you know, it's probably some of these laws that protect doctors from any, you know, vaccine injury cases. You know, they're not liable if one of their patients get vaccine injured, but I treat a lot of vaccine injured patients also. And I've been seeing more, you know, with the COVID vaccine, unfortunately. Now, is this why you kind of got into politics? Why don't you tell our listeners what you're doing right now and sure. why?
It's interesting that it seems like everything I'm doing in life is the last thing I wish to do. The last thing I want to do is to, I want to become is a doctor, right? My mom always say, oh, you got to be a doctor. I said, no way. I want to be a race car driver. I want to be a fighter pilot. And here I am, right? I always tell people I will never get into politics. That's crazy. That's insanity. And look what I'm doing. I'm knee deep running this campaign. So the reason why I decided is I looked around, like all my, I have 8 nieces and nephew, and they all left California. My sister left; they moved to Texas. No one in their right mind would want to stay in the state. And recently, I saw over 100 children in my office in a span of 2-3 days, in 100 for mass use related injury, where they had to wear masks all day long at school, where they actually being threatened by their teachers, and they would tell them, hey, if I see you pulling down your mask, I'm going to staple that mask on your face. And they've been out of lunch line, not allowing to eat because they're not wearing masks. They've been basically put aside on the side of the classroom, not letting use restroom because they're not wearing masks. And all the little boys I saw that couple days all had speech impediment as a result of masking for the past year and a half. Because boys with their speech development is slower than girls. So I had an epiphany that week. I realized we had helped over, you know, close to 3,000 people keeping their job with vaccine exemptions in my area, actually across the country. And we had treated well over 2,000 COVID patients, 100% survival rate, helped about 1,000 kids come out face masks. And I just realized, oh my gosh, I can see not 100,000 people. It won't make a difference because all this draconian measure, all this destructive rules and regulation coming from Sacramento, coming from the capital, if we don't, just like in medicine, if we don't get into the root of the disease and cut out the malignancy, nothing will change. And I look around, there's really no good candidate that represents my area as a senator. So I decided, well, if someone's going to be crazy enough to do it, it will be me. And I'm definitely committed, and I got a passion in my belly. So that's why I decided to run.
That's so brave and so amazing. And I think the problem is that politics has abducted medicine. I mean, really, the last 2 years, and I even tell my husband, I'm like, I don't want to get involved in this drama and all this stuff. I don't want to lose jobs because of my stance on the evidence. But I mean, I have to do the right thing. And I think that's the problem is doctors like us, we know what's right and wrong. In the last 2 years, there has been too much wrong. And it's time for us to speak up before more people get hurt.
No.
It's absolutely crazy.
Sure. I think our the government system, they may look dumb. I think they know what they're doing. In the past 40, 50 years, they have done everything they can to take civics out of primary education. Basically, our kids are brought up not knowing the Constitution, not knowing the Bill of Rights, which is the supreme law of the land. So we don't realize that we have the right to defend our property, and that's where the Second Amendment came from. Mm-hmm. The same thing, that property is your health, your body, and your children's health and in their body. That's our property too. And the right for free speech, if you look at what Google's and Facebook and Instagram and all the social media, right? They regulate our speech. So when the easiest way to for them to have power, you know, it's basically keep the populace ignorant. So even if I do make it to Senate, it's very important that I will take step and effort to connect people across the country, not just in California, that we really need to educate the citizen and make us realize that we have that supreme law, the Constitution, Bill of Rights. And government is only created to make sure that we have a perfect union between states. And the power resides in the people, right? It's not because all hundreds and thousands of Californians want to move to Ohio and want to move to Indiana and Texas because you have a benevolent politician that's going to look out for your rights. You are treated much better. It's because the citizen in your state say, no way will we want to be treated like this, like the Californians. If you want to pass anything that's going to trample on our rights, you're going to hear from us. We're going to get you out of office. So people have the power. So right now, everything is upside down. It's the government has the power to rule over people. So basically, we are their subject. So that's the thing that we had to fight. And like you say, as physicians, I don't know what I think you may be familiar with some groups where many doctors are being investigated if you practice alternative medicine, integrative medicine, especially a pediatrician getting run out of town from California if you dare to write any exemption for childhood vaccination. So physicians are, like you mentioned, that we're really being targeted. So instead of running, and I have over 30 complaints in the medical board against me right now. Instead of running, I decided that I'm going to stay here and fight. Because California, once California falls, West Coast is going to fall. They already flipped Arizona. They already flipped Nevada. And soon it's going to come over to the Midwest. It's going to be at your doorstep pretty soon. So this is ground zero of the battle to defend our freedom and democracy. So if I decided, okay, I'm going to move, I could easily pick up my stuff and move to Texas or right. I don't know why not. But I think to defend our country, our rights, I need to stay here and fight as long as I can.
Oh, that gave me chills that you are willing to fight and just stand up to that. Like you said, all the medical board complaints and everything, and that's probably a lot of stress on you. So that's amazing. And I really appreciate that because you're right. If California keeps up with the way it is, then it's just going to be that much easier for other states to say it's okay. So can you talk about the specific mandates for vaccines that Californians are under right now? They're really strict. And then a little bit about what happens to doctors that write legit vaccine exemptions.
Sure. I think despite everything that California are doing, the vaccination rate are much lower. If I'm not correct, that it's lower than other states that don't have these several draconian restrictions. I think when you had to strong arm people to do things, then that's when people really become skeptical. In the past 10 years, there's another physician over at Sacramento, Richard Pan. You probably heard of his name. And really feel ashamed that both he and I were trained at UC Davis. He was attending when I was a resident over there, pediatric attending. And he has been going after the medical rights of Californian for the past 10 years when he was elected as a senator. Basically, they limit physician's ability to write exemption for childhood vaccination to 5. So if you write more than that, you'll automatically be investigated. And if you're going to write the exemption for childhood vaccination, you need to be enter your name into a database. So basically saying that tell the government, the state of California, that you are writing exemption for children. So you're automatically being watched. And he recently had reintroduced and co-authored about 10 different bills coming through the Senate saying that, okay, we're going to allow kids 12 and up to make vaccine decision without their, without their
parents. They're not even allowed to, get off the bus.
Right?
I mean, come on. They're not allowed to be left home alone. Well, you at 12, you can, but they can't get tattoos. They can't. I mean, their frontal cortex is not developed. What is going on? If you offer a kid, a candy bar, they would probably get whatever vaccine that you had in front of them.
Oh yeah. There's plenty of example in California where they offer kids candies and drinks and Big Mac meal. They get vaccinated with a COVID vaccine. Yeah. It happens.
And they're allowed to without a parental consent if they're over 12.
I'm not sure what age it is. That was in high school. Kids are getting pressure. That's why in many of our school in California, the COVID vaccination rate is about 90%.
Oh, wow. I wonder what the rates of myocarditis are.
Well, they don't talk about it. Luckily, I haven't seen that many cases with kids, but with nurses and with firefighters, unbelievable.
Wow. Well, so they're working. So this doctor that you trained with, I mean, that probably really stings because he was your mentor and now he's doing all these crazy bills that are in the way of medical freedom. I think there's one way you can look at, vaccines. It's we deserve to be educated on them. Patients deserve to ask their doctors questions without being looked at strange. Doctors should have to read every single package insert of a vaccine from front to back before being able to administer vaccines in their office. I mean, I've straight up asked our kid's pediatrician, I've talked to her about things that were in the insert and they act surprised. And I just don't know. It's just messy. It's very unfortunate.
Well, you and I are physicians. We understand that when we treat a patient, we need to use every tool available. If we look at our tool bag and the only tool that we have to treat our patient is a sharp scalpel, I think that'll be very difficult to practice medicine. As a pediatrician, they want to do good things. They want to prevent childhood illness. I think that's fantastic. But we need to understand and realize, other than smallpox vaccination, which only has 25% effective rate, everything else are, their effective rate is in the, less than 10%. So if you get MMR vaccination, most parents in our community and society feel like or think that it's 100% protective, just like the COVID vaccine. They are not. They are not. There's a number of people that we need to treat to prevent one case of measles, mumps, and rubella. For example, the Pfizer vaccine is 142 people needs to be vaccinated to prevent one case of a cold symptom. As according to the Pfizer's own research data, which is skewed, right? If you look at a real-world number over at Israel, the whole nation is 100% vaccinated with Pfizer vaccine. It's 600 Israelis has to be vaccinated to prevent one case of a cold symptom. So this guy, Richard Pan, he's very, very problematic. He has some type of fear about germs, probably. I don't know. But he has some, I think he has some mental issues that's translated into politics, that he basically are really afraid and he doesn't like to speak with people that want to challenge his view. Literally, people will chase him down the hallway at Sacramento. He will literally run. and dive down the staircase and run into the Capitol's security office and doesn't want to talk to people that want to ask him, why are you doing this to people in California? And he'll just introduce bill after bill after bill after bill to strip away our right to speak, to strip away our right to discuss freely. Another bill that he introduced and co-authored is basically they want to anything that you post on social media where they deem to be misinformation, they're going to make a copy of what you wrote. They're going to submit to the attorney general and go after you.
So I cannot even deal with that. So the problem is with this misinformation thing that they're forgetting about with doctors is that our medical expertise and our experiences as physicians, it's our trade. You know, you're not going to go to a car mechanic and tell him that he's, you know, changing the brake pad wrong because he found a better way of doing it based on all the Corvettes he's done. That wouldn't be labeled as misinformation. I mean, it's just nuts. I mean, the thing with when doctors are in that patient doctor, when we're in the room with a patient, that's confident. And no one knows what goes on in that room, as you know. And we have to use our training and our gestalt to come up with the best plan, not come up with the cookie cutter plan. And that's kind of what they're trying to do, is just mass, you know, treatment, you know, the same treatment protocols, the same vaccines for everyone.
Well, I'm going to tell you something that's really disturbing. I just saw a firefighter from Marin. That's kind of northern, a little bit north of Sacramento. And he came to me today for vaccine exemption. And he told me, hey, doc, just want to let you know, I'll be, after you write my exemption, and I had to basically appear in front of a court at my work, where they're going to investigate me and ask me if these exemptions are legit or not. And they're going to make a decision whether they're going to approve this exemption or not. So I asked the firefighter, I'm like, okay. So, and he also said there's going to be an epidemiologist on this panel, right? Mm-hmm. So where he's going to be investigated. It's unbelievable. So I say, okay, that's great. That's okay if they want to do that. But I want you to find out the name of this epidemiologist, his or her medical record number, their physician. So if they make a decision whether he should or should not get vaccinated, and if you get injured, you're going to go after his or her medical license. You're going to sue him or her for medical malpractice. And the firefighter say, well, if I say that, they're just not going to take any responsibility. I say, exactly, exactly. No one will take responsibility, but yet they want to force these type of experimental procedure and quote-unquote vaccine or therapy on you. So Right. It's just absolute insanity over here.
That's terrible. It's like saying to someone, hey, we're going to chop your arm off, but we're not going to give you the risk and benefits of having an arm versus not having an arm. You just have to trust us. I mean, this is where informed consent is not happening, especially in California. I mean, because like you said, no one's taking responsibility for, you know, if there is harm. I think people need to understand that, like, when doctors sit down with their patients, they need to give informed consent, meaning this is how effective this vaccine or this medication is. These are the side effects. So is it worth you taking it or not, you know, versus the disease you might get or the disease you have. And I'm like, that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen with birth control. It doesn't happen with vaccines. And the problem is if California is losing this battle, that is a huge state. And like you said, it's just going to trickle down everywhere else.
Once California fall, there goes the rest of the country. So very unfortunate that we are setting this horrible example. There, the politicians, one of my opponents has publicly declared that she is going to defund the police. There's no rule of law in California anymore. There's homeless people everywhere. That's the number one concern for most Californians. We allow open drug dealing. We don't offer them rehab. I think it's absolute cruelty. Then we, you know, these homeless people, oftentimes they have little kids asleep in the park and on the street with their mom that's doing drugs. And then what do? We reward them with more money, cash. We right. build in little condos and apartments that cost almost $1 million to build. Nowhere in our constitution, Bill of Rights, that says that we can allow open drug dealing and give these people free housing, right? It's all about to ensure that we have the facility and the rights to defend our property so we can pursue happiness. Pursuing happiness, not giving government giving us free stuff. And I'm sure that you heard about all the horrible wildfire that we have every fall and summer.
Yes.
Because of the poor forest management, where we basically allow the forest to grow without any control. Anytime there's a little wildfire, we'll put it out. After a little, after over 100 years or so, the forest is dense. And if you look at a historic picture of the Sierra, California, the forest density is probably 1/5 of now. So not only the fire is going to burn so much more intense, also with all the tree that's grown over at the Sierra in the mountains, it sap up the rainwater, which California farmers desperately need. Mm-hmm. And if we can't produce food in California, and that will affect the rest of the country. So government, basically, these are just career politicians. They don't do things that's right. They don't think that's don't do things that's protecting California. And basically, they just want to keep on scaring us with this COVID pandemic. And so we don't pay attention to everything that they're not doing that they're supposed to do as a politician.
Yeah. And, you know, they throw in a measles outbreak in there every once in a while, too. Right.
Yeah.
So what basically can listeners do to support doctors like you and, you know, you and your political journey? I mean, what can people do? I mean, I think people are scared to speak out. I was just talking to a friend about this in Northwest Ohio. You know, I know 50% of the people are conservative, but they're scared to speak out. They're scared to make changes. We're pretty lucky in Ohio. There's religious, philosophical, and medical exemptions for vaccines. But with COVID, you know, the mask, it was pretty strict over here. So it kind of, you know, people should be a little bit more outspoken. I guess, you know, what can people do? What would you suggest?
It's not just in California. It's everywhere across our union of America. So if we don't speak up, that means we have conceded defeat. We are, you know, America basically got brought down to our knees 2 years ago, beginning of pandemic, by our foreign and domestic enemies without them firing one shot. We basically conceded and said we are a defeated nation. Right? We cannot speak. It's okay to cancel us on Facebook and YouTube. The government can do whatever they want with our body and going after our jobs. So the most important thing, your listener and people in California, is do not comply. Peaceful non-compliance. So if someone wants you to jump out the bridge so you can keep your job and want to ensure that you won't want to do that, you haven't gone to that point yet. It's getting pretty awfully close. So when our nation was first formed, politicians are, they basically are farmers and lawyers and doctors. Everybody take turn in the community, and they still have a job. And even nowadays, many states, the assemblymen and senators, they all work part time as a politician, and they keep their job part time too. So when we can have the normal citizen rotate through politics and through the capitals and whatnot, and that kind of bring a sense of reality. And so having career politician that never work, you know, have an honest job or have a business of their own. So the most important thing is peaceful non-compliance. And secondly, every one of us, physician, doctor, nurses, firemen, farmers, we all need to get into politics. We have to, and we cannot depend on one person to make our life better. Why is that? Because we cannot depend on an election every 2 to 4 years to make our life better. That has to change. We need to realize every day we can make a difference. Right? Every day when we realize that our right, our constitutional right and bill of right are being trampled on, then we, the people, can voice our displeasure and say, no, we cannot have that. We're not going to comply. and we can literally change our country overnight. So we got to get this message out loud and clear. Yes, I would love your supporter, people in California, to support my campaign. But most important thing is every one of us as a citizen of the United States need to realize that we have this right, that the government is here to serve us, not us serving them.
Oh, that gave me chills. I agree. I think people need to get into politics. You're right. These career politicians, no, we need to vote them out. And I am involved in this Freedom Keepers local chapter. And we were saying that we're like, we need to vote out these representatives, these senators that aren't doing anything. Why are we voting for them still? Why aren't we supporting more? And the really sad thing I thought that should have really fired people up was when, you know, Gavin Newsom and all the politicians and celebrities were at the Super Bowl not wearing masks. And then I had tons of my followers message me and they're like, yep, my kid has to wear a mask tomorrow to school.
It's because the politician, they act like kings and queens. They act like loyalties. And the citizen are accustomed to bow down to them and say, wow, they are better than me. And that's, again, that we have been kept ignorant of our rights. They are not above the law. And right now they are. They are doing everything, all these mandates and lockdowns and shelter in place are absolutely illegal. Okay. So another thing I think our listeners need to understand, yes, we do need to get into the politics. Again, we should not depend on the election every 2 to 4 years. It's too long. We need to act today. And going to jump into politics, if you look, I'm not sure about Ohio, but in California, as a full-time senator, my income, annual income is $119,000 as a full-time senator. Mm-hmm. That's a fraction of what I make as a physician and as where, you know, I'm operating my own private practice. So a lot of people, I mean, this is actually less than some people makes over at Lowe's and Home Depot. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it is a huge commitment of time, energy, and not to mention all the smearing that you're going to experience as running the campaign. It is a lot of sacrifice, but there's no other choice. You know, it's not just me that I'm going to get into the Senate in California that's going to change the country. You will have to take effort from every single one of us.
Absolutely. So getting involved in different organizations, running, you know, just getting the word out, just being brave, stepping out of your comfort zone. So Michael, how crazy, does your family and friends think you're crazy for doing this? Your patients are probably super excited. Tell me how the response has been.
Sure. Family definitely had their reservation. I'm keeping my family out of this because I don't want them to get dragged into the misery and the demeaning things that can happen in politics. So friends, because of what I am doing in California, I lost all my friends, every single one of them.
Really?
This has been an extremely lonely journey. And they made several hit pieces on me in the local news, accusing me of selling exemption cards for kids. And again, like I said, the very town I live in, they have filed complaint against me, 16 complaint to the medical board. And I'm running as, my political belief is right centrist. So I declare as a Republican. And I've been thrown out of Republican open house recently in my hometown because I'm not an endorsed candidate. Mm-hmm. So, it's very, very challenging. And definitely, no support. But and we feel very alone, but it doesn't matter. It's, you know, I was at the LA defeat and mandate event this past weekend where I spoke in front of thousands of supporters. And I look at everybody and I felt this energy, this electric energy. I say to the crowd, I am your platoon leader and I am going to lead every one of us to war. And when I said that, I realize that we are all going to get shot at. We are going to have wounds. And we are not going to have the support from the populace, especially here in California. But it's an important battle that I, as a platoon leader, had to lead the few that support us to the battle ground and fight. Because if we don't do this again, like what I mentioned, once California falls, we are at the ground zero. California is the front line. Once this state falls, that's it. The rest of the countries, they're coming after you.
I agree. Michael, I'll be your friend. I'm sure all my listeners will be your friend, and my Instagram family, they'll all follow you and support you. I mean, I agree, it's lonely. I've cried so many times to my husband about the loneliness I feel sometimes. I've lost physician friends. I've lost respect of attendings for literally putting out science and articles and treatment protocols and, you know, the FLCCC protocols and all of that. So, but doing the right thing is more important. And doing no harm is more important. And having that integrity is so, so brave and so important. So, you know, I commend you, especially like you said, you've just lost a lot of friends. And I'm sure it feels so hard some days, but know that there's people that really respect you. And we really appreciate you because you are on the battleground for these subjects.
Looking back at what we did in the past 2 years, I can't be more proud with my staff and what my office has done. If I were to bow to pressure, there will be hundreds of people dead in my community. And my treatment success rate is 100%. Mm-hmm. And the education that we provided, I've spoken at so countless school board meetings. And we had the 100 kids I saw for the city of Lincoln, we were able to force the school's hands and make masking optional. So all the things that we have done, I'm extremely proud. Without my office staff support, without people like you, and we have so hundreds of mama bears and fathers also, mm-hmm. that has support our effort. And it has been a tremendous, a life-changing experience. And I'm constantly like you, I'm constantly humbled and lost count how many times I have cried when, you know, I see these vaccine injured nurses. Sometimes I'll have 10 nurses, Kaiser nurses in my office. We'll do a short conference. I'll see them individually after that. And they just look at each other and say, oh my gosh, you injured. Oh, you injured. Oh, you injured. And they, before I even said a word, and they'll be all crying. Mm. Because they felt so alone. That their voices are not being heard. So it's been quite challenging. But and I just feel so proud that, you know, I feel like I have that courage to stand up for them and to protect them. And that's the most rewarding thing that I continue to experience on a daily basis.
Oh, that's so amazing. You're doing amazing work. And I'm so glad that I got this opportunity to meet you and talk with you. Maybe someday I'll go out to California. I'm scared. No, I'm just kidding. But where can my listeners find you? Social media, website? If someone's local, how can they get into rallies? How can they help fund your campaign?
You can go to my website is huangsenate.com. It's a campaign website, HUANG Senate, SENATE.com. And you can also visit my Instagram is Michael Huang MD. That's on the Instagram page.
I'll link those in the show notes also.
Sure. We have plenty of videos and there are some silly stuff that my staff have me do. So they just posted one thing today when I'm dancing around with the lawn sign. So I'm like, oh my gosh, you're putting in that on Instagram. So they're much younger than I am. So they said, this is good. I said, okay, I trust you. But yeah, huangsenate.com. What we need the most right now is to get a word out. If your listener can send a message out, if they like what I do and what I represent, what we like to do to protect our country, our nation, our liberty, please pass on to your friends and family. And we need a lot of donations. We need about $250,000 to make it through the June primary, which means the top two candidate is going to go head to head to the November primary. And even if we make it through the June primary, that's we need anywhere between $2 to $5 million to make this campaign work and win the race. It's one thing that really disgusts me is the money that's needed to do these type of campaign. Money in political terms is like bullets and guns and javelin missile for the Ukrainian, right? To defend their freedoms and their country. For politics, donation is the same.
Right. And who knows if, you know, big farm, big agriculture, you know, all these things that get, you know, funded, all these politicians, they're, how do they get their funding? You know, so I think it's harder for people going against the grain. They really have to rally up the troops for the fundraising.
Another thing I realized jumping to politics is that we need to basically combine our individual efforts across the country. Regular citizen like you and I, mom, dad, just a regular Americans, working, hardworking Americans, that we need to form our super PAC. A political action committee, and we need to pool our money together. Imagine that if we have a super PAC that have donations that amounts to $300-500 million. Mm. And with our super PAC that we have different representatives across the state and across the nation, that we can go to these politicians just like Pfizer's and some military companies and some big unions. Well, we can say, hey, these are our backings, our money talks. If you vote for something that the parents and regular citizens do not like, we're going to give our donation to the people that's going to replace you. So then they will listen to us.
Yeah.
So,
and what people don't understand, we're not against all medications and drugs and pharm companies. Like, medications save lives, you know, but it's getting out of control. I love that. So who's going to start this super PAC nonprofit up?
I think it's going to be you and I.
Oh, maybe when all my kids are in like school all day.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
I think if I don't make it through primary, I don't make it through November. Even if I make it as a senator, I will start a super PAC.
I love it. I think a lot of people will be interested in that.
Yeah. We definitely need to have representative across the nation that will represent the super PAC and protect the citizens' best interests and not the corporate or the hospital or the unions or the medical board's best interests.
Protect the Constitution. So your primary is in June. I'm going to be actually watching that and super excited. I'll share whatever I can on Instagram to help you. I'm excited to watch your journey. You are such a warrior and I'm so excited.
I will forward you the talk I gave over at Los Angeles Defeat a Mandate. It's quite a emotional, robust talk. You can see the feeling flow from me. It's all 100% real. That we're going to battle and we need to win this. So I'll send that over to your email and can share to your followers.
Thank you. Yeah. And thanks so much, Michael, for joining.
This podcast is created and hosted by Jen Flegar and is for informational purposes only. It is not medical advice. This podcast disclaims responsibility for adverse effects from use of information contained in this podcast. This podcast does not promote opinions of their guests as their own and does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests of the show or endorse any qualifications for the guests of this podcast. Guests may have financial disclosures. If you think you have a medical problem, consult your personal